Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, and this is a meeting of the Saskatchewan Technical Review Committee. We're going to start today with the approval of the minutes from July 19th. Does anyone have any thoughts, any motion?
Move to accept.
Any comments or discussion?
No, just accept.
Okay, great, wonderful. All right, so up next, we're going to go out of order on this agenda because our first item will be the one we'll spend the most time on, so hopefully we can go through the others. So we'll start, we'll move down to section C on the agenda, TRC minor review, development plan review, Verizon wireless telecommunications wires and appurtenances, Gooseberry Road and Columbia Street. I don't think there's anybody here for this.
Okay.
So then we'll move on next. So next we have development plan review, which is advisory to special use permit, I believe, for marina and shellfish hatchery, request to operate a marina and shellfish hatchery on assessor's plot 87-2, lot 4, located at 650 Succotash Road, KESM LLC is the owner and applicant. Please state your name for the record.
Harry Resso.
John Giacoponi.
What I'd like to do is build a building that's used for shellfish hatchery and office and any kind of marina storage, but mainly shellfish hatchery in the area outlined in that plan. It seems to be the place that would not, the one space on the property that would not take up any parking and would also allow for the building to be used for a shellfish hatchery based on the zoning and also based on meetings with preliminary meetings with CRMC. Two-story, 1,800 square feet per floor. I'd like to spawn oysters right now. There's about 60 oyster growers in the state, and everybody's buying their oyster seed out of state. I'd like to start a hatchery to be able to spawn shellfish and use them for my farm and also provide them for other farmers. It's very hard to get bay scallop seed. Bay scallops are a species that has potential commercial importance in Rhode Island. It once did, hopefully it will again, and it's hard to get that seed, so I'm trying to create a hatchery also so I can spawn the scallop seed as well.
Thank you. So first,
there's a building there now?
There's a building there now.
Okay. So there's a, now that's, is that the ice cream place?
No, the building that's in that location right now is a cottage. I thought that I would have to build in the footprint of one of the buildings, but based on my understandings with reading the town building and zoning ordinances and speaking with CRMC, there's potential to build a building in the location that I've outlined. So there's a building there and a deck, but there's a building there. Yeah, it's the cottage. But it's not the same footprint as what's being proposed.
So you want to demolish the dwelling?
Correct.
Yeah, or move it. I don't want to move it. But I goofed up, really. I put siding and a new shingles on the building, thinking that not realizing that I could potentially do a building there, and then I realized that I could, and that was the spot that makes the most sense to reduce the amount of parking that I would lose, and now it turns out that, yeah, so I don't know.
So you're looking basically looking for relief from the setbacks.
Yeah.
Because you have to be close to the water.
Yes, yes. The deck that's there now, can you see it? It's not really, does overhang that rock wall that's...
Yeah, you can see that ripple of 55 foot.
Oh, yeah, you can see it, right, right. That corner of the deck that is existing does come into the rock wall, so, you know, in some places it would be, it would reduce the amount that it would come into, you know, towards the coastal feature, and other places it would increase it.
What's the required setback, Jeff?
32. Depends if you want to call it a primary use or an accessory use. I think it's both. I think the marina office is accessory to the marina. The shellfish hatchery is a principal use in a commercial waterfront zone because it's a permitted use in that zone. So six and one, half a dozen the other, regardless, it's, you're still going to need the relief.
I think if you, as the zoning enforcement officer, determine that it's a principal use rather than accessory, yeah, have two principal uses on one parcel, which may force him to have a development project reviewed by the planning board. And if you call it an accessory use to the marina, then it would not require that process. The definition of land development project is two or more uses or, you know, principal uses or buildings on one parcel.
We already have that.
Yeah, so maybe it's just that it's a continuation of a non-conforming.
Yeah, they already have two principal uses. Okay. They have a dwelling and a marina.
So we'll just call it.
So can I just be clear about what we're looking at in this review, just in terms of the clarity of, you know, is everything open? I noticed that, you know, for instance, it looks like there's a lot line that doesn't include the parking, but I'm not quite sure what that, you know, so I'm unclear about that. Are we looking at just the building? Are we looking at the entire marina?
Just the building.
Just, okay. Just looking at the building.
The building, office marina operations.
Okay. So we cannot comment on parking or anything like that?
I don't think, when Jeff and I discussed this before, we didn't think that it meant the threshold for development plan review as much as we wanted. And really just that we were looking for an advisory opinion from the TRC on the setback specifically.
This plan was a plan that Wes Grant had created for the previous owner, Tom Lockwood. And so the vehicles that were depicted there were for the purposes of, you know, the work that Tom Lockwood, the previous owner, was doing. So those new vehicles were put in there by, no, not by my engineer, but a previous engineer. So we used that to show this, the outline footprint of the proposed building, which is what was required for this meeting. So that's why the vehicles are depicted there.
So Jeff, what's the actual relief that he needs, like dimensionally?
Site setback for a principal structure would be 30 feet. 30 feet from the front and rear. This point out here actually being the rear because it's the furthest away from the front. And the side. There isn't a dimension on here, the actual.
What's that?
That dotted line is the setbacks of what the relief is asking for. 10 on the sides, 20 in the back, 40 in the front.
No, he's saying that the side is how much, Jeff?
It's supposed to be 30.
So what are you saying, the dotted
line? This dotted line right here?
Yeah.
That's the setbacks that we were trying to hold so you have an idea of what it looks like around the whole entire building, the 10-foot setbacks on the sides.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what you're requesting, is a 10 on the side.
Correct. Yes, that's our request.
All right.
10 on side and 20 on rear.
Correct.
Although it looks like the rear, you don't need the 20. You know, it looks like the rear, you're really requesting, like, it looks like you have almost a 30-foot setback as it is.
No, it's 20. The 30-foot mark is actually the width of the building.
20 would be the closest corner of the building to the coastal feature right there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And the purpose of keeping it close to the building, the water, is for the water source that he's going to be harvesting from the channel.
Right. So that's coming off the channel. Mm. What is the other to the left there? It says shellfish hatchery. It looks like there's a rectangle building. Is that, what is that?
Well, that building currently, it was a fish market. The previous owner rented it out to tenants, and when I purchased the property, I was told that it wasn't a zone to be rented out, so I discontinued renting it out. So right now, that's what that building is. It, I may do propose to do some a preliminary shellfish hatchery on a small scale in that building while this other one's being constructed. But there isn't a certain plan for that. I don't have a...
I understand that this is not part of the, is this change in use, I would just ask the question, but again, this might not be under this jurisdiction, for the parking, so how does this affect any parking or not? How many people will be working, I think it's a great idea, people will be, be doing some shellfish hatchery right here. It's good for jobs, it's good for industry. So I would ask about the parking, if there's any change in parking needed, or how many people will be working there. Probably, there seems to be a lot of parking. I don't know if that's for the marina, if that's for off-site activities, but that's just a question I have, especially when you're not changing in use, although the marina seems to be the primary use.
Approximately. 3 employees, give or take. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't expect it.
A single family dwelling now that would require 2 parking spaces. Mm-hmm. 3 employees would be 1.5 parking spaces, so it's actually a reduction.
Great.
Any other comments or questions?
And do you plan on keeping the marina as a marina?
Yeah, got to pay the mortgage there somehow. So those slips I'm going to rent out for sure.
Okay, I guess just a note to our, I think that obviously CRC will deal with that, but this area is pretty low-lying and, some of the issues with flooding up there, Secatasha might be a little bit higher, just thinking in terms of flooding and may consider additional freeboard on that. It's not a requirement, but you may want to consider additional freeboard on that building.
Yes.
To sustain it.
The engineer, it did in a certain zoning that we have to comply with. The engineer will design it in that way, in that manner.
Right. Because I've looked at that marina sometimes during high tides and seeing that high tides come up to, I don't know what, you might want to, it's hard to see here, but in terms of the wall and the elevation of that wall, in terms of flooding of that area, but I know that those docks and such get
quite high.
Docks get shallow.
Yeah. And CRC at this point is on board.
Yeah.
With everything, they visited the site a few times and just going through the process.
Yes.
Based on the need to have the building in proximity to the bank or the channel?
It has to have a water source.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, he means it needs a water source, like proximity to the water.
Oh, well, he's going to be pumping out of the pond.
Yeah.
Right, he's going to be pumping out of the pond and recirculating that.
But yes, there's also a portable water.
I think I did the agenda for this before.
Hey, Jim, Josh.
Good, how are you?
Before we read title.
John, are these your keys?
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Oh, there's my. No, there are.
Okay, up next on our agenda, we have TRC advisory review, preliminary plan review for a major land development project. Hampton Way Hotel is how it's listed now. It was actually a previous name of the project. The project now being called South County Commons District 5, correct?
Yes.
Great. So this is a proposed 100-room hotel, 107,780 square feet, with a 3,600 square foot pool building on assessor's lot 50-4, lot 22, located at the intersection of Hampton Way and Route 1. SCC Investments is the applicant, and Summit Realty is the owner.
Good morning, for the record. Eric Creevy, professional engineer with Dupree Engineering. Since last time, we have come for a TRC before. We came 2 months ago, and I did an intro of it because we wanted to, seeing as this District 5 hadn't been developed previously, we wanted to intro it and kind of get some early feedback before we had provided any building architecture or for the detailed landscape. Since that time, we've taken the plans to the next level. We've had additional meetings with planning staff and looking at what we've submitted on the latest is the full preliminary plan package. It has the detailed landscape plans specifically to the Route 1. This is within the Route 1 Special Management District, and specifically for the 100 feet and screening of the parking areas and such. So we've now provided a comprehensive landscape plan that has been provided. John Carter is here today as well, and be able to speak to that. We've also provided the some elevation views of the proposed hotel building as well. We do have one new material that hadn't been submitted previously but was requested, and I'll be forwarding it to you, Jess, and we just finished it up yesterday. But getting a perspective, I know that there was a wanting to know what this will look like from the Route 1 intersection. So what we had done is provided a perspective, basically looking from this Route 1 intersection and what it would look like from this direction here. So that's what this is here. Chris Major is here as well, the building architect, and be able to speak to some of the architectural elements. One of the other important elements that we had for the architecture was just purely the aesthetics of the building. So the prototype of what the original Fairfield Inn, what the prototype of Fairfield Inn is you know, pretty standard, pretty dramatically different from what we evolved it into. And what we've done is we provide a memo as well, kind of showing, and this was provided with all the materials as well, showing the evolution of how we came about it, working with the staff, looking at the features, looking at all of the, both the roof lines and the exterior, and so kind of talking about how that went. And we really wanted to also provide in here, in this memo, you can see the this is the prototype of what the Fairfield Inn looks like now, and it's a very modern look. It has something that we recognize is not necessarily the South Kingstown feel. So meeting with staff and trying to look and take it to the next level of finding the architecture that will work for this area. So this is the view from Route 1 itself, and then we'll be providing that as well, because I think that was an important element that people wanted to see. And then we do have a secondary one that shows a little bit closer, so then you're, you know, inside of the screening already. It shows a real nice image of what the architecture will look like for all of these items. So we'll be providing that as well. Some of the other items that we had looked at and adjusted and worked with the staff along the way are Maria in an informal meeting had mentioned about possibly looking at making this aisle right here. This aisle was 24 feet originally, and there wasn't a lot of room for landscape in this area. So we were actually able to taper this area over here down to a 20-foot and add some additional landscape in this area. I know that was an important feature that was mentioned as well. Also, since last time, we have received our DEM freshwater wetlands permit. We've provided a copy to that for the records as well. So the engineer and biologist have reviewed all of the stormwater design. We have low impact development on site, infiltration on site as well. And then just recently, actually, we resubmitted the public services had requested an update on the sewer pump stations. So sewer for this area comes to the Bradley School pump station that goes over to the South County Commons pump station, and then that one goes. So we provided that memo just yesterday, actually, for both pump stations. And they're both, the conclusion of it is that they're well below what the original design capacity was for them. So they were originally designed for this future development as well. And the actual use is well below what the original design use was. One of the other items that we had submitted was a traffic impact statement that was done by Paul Bannon of Beta Group. And they provided a statement regarding the traffic and how the intersection was originally designed for, knowing the future of this area, both from the Hadad land and District 5 land as well. So he provided a full traffic impact statement. We're actually on the T-square RC meeting tomorrow morning as well, so we'll be reviewing specifically the traffic with that tomorrow morning. Also with that, the conclusions on that were that, again, the intersection was designed for this capacity. We're also taking some of the alignment of where the existing Bradley School comes today and making it a smoother for the way that the buses come in as well. So it's actually currently today, it kind of comes in, tees up, and then comes off. So we're smoothing that out and actually making it a better entry altogether, keeping the exact same curb cut as today as well. One of the other items that we did was we had a chance to meet with the Wakefield Meadows Board, knowing that they've been active and vocal at a lot of projects in the area. We wanted a chance to introduce the project to them and kind of tell them what we're doing and get some early feedback from them. Seemed like a very positive, that was on Monday, and we met right at the Chamber of Commerce and got a chance to introduce it to them. I got a lot of positive feedback from them. The items that would probably be most pertinent would be traffic and landscape and screening. They seemed to be very supportive of the project in general. They were happy with the landscape and screening that we were providing. And then one of the things that we had, with discussions that we had talked about, was their concern for cut-through traffic going into Wakefield through there, even though it's a private road, that people have a tendency to use it sometimes. We had committed, as we will have a stop sign here anyway at the intersection, we had committed to putting a no right-hand turn there as well, discourage people from taking that right-hand turn. I think just from a practicality perspective, I wouldn't find it advantageous to go through here because it's a 14-mile-an-hour zone. It's not that I would go straight to the light, take the right, get off the Wakefield exit anyway. I don't know that it's advantageous to do that, to cut through this area as well, but that was a commitment that we were able to have with the Wakefield Meadows Board that will at least discourage right-hand turn traffic as well. So that was kind of the overview of some of the items that we had provided. We actually provided as well the open space plan. So a couple of other items were, and again, John's here for landscape items. Chris is here for architectural items. We can get a little deeper on those, but I wanted to kind of give a high level as well. The phasing plan, one of the questions is what's being built in phase one. So we were able to put this phasing plan together as well. So for phase one, it would be the realignment of the Bradley Access Road with the hotel. This road is existing today. That's the kind of the remainder road of what the original Bradley School came in as. So we would leave that as it is today to where it ends today. And then the area where this future bank or non-retail site over here is would just be kind of pad ready. It would just be graded to about finished grade and loamed and seeded in this area. All of the landscaping and all of the Route 1 landscaping for the buffering and screening from Route 1 would all be installed in Phase 1, and then all of the hotel work as well. This pond is necessary for some of the stormwater improvements, so the rear portion back here to construct that pond would be important and would be constructed as Phase 1. But this whole portion in the front up here where the future office building would be is all a future phase and would just be left wooded at this time. So it would, so from the perspective, especially of the Wakefield Meadows Board, it would all be wooded as today. So it didn't make sense for us to take these trees out and install the landscaping. Rather, it makes sense to keep all of the trees that are there today. So that's the phasing plan that we provided. And then one other item that was an important item was both the pedestrian access and an open space plan. So we provided this colorized plan showing the open space. And in the original master plan approval for this, let me get the same orientation here, so it's kind of the same here. In the same, in the master plan approval, so here's the rest of South County Commons right here, where you come in from the main area over here. This is what is known as District 5 and was originally approved on the master plan. This was approved with the open space of 4 acres, 4.07 acres. I believe it's 27% of the site. We're actually able to provide 7.42 acres of open space between the Bradley and what District 5 has here as well. And we colorize that right on here so it was real visual and easy to see. So that's 50% of the usable space in this area as well. So that's substantially larger than what the original open space of the original master plan was providing as open space. So it's 180% more than what it was originally. We did provide on here as this is a kind of a depiction of what the future would be, not knowing what this building is at this time. We did provide a small area just for future development in case this layout needs to get modified at all. But that's not included in the open space, but we wanted to at least show that area as well. So that's kind of the high level. Obviously, we've provided the detailed landscape plans, but John, maybe you want to give a brief overview of the screening and landscape elements?
You can. Do you have the sheet 3?
I do.
So one of the things at the last meeting that we were asked to do by Maria was to see if we could reduce the number of parking spaces and provide pedestrian circulation within the site, connecting the different uses and so forth, and to develop some green spaces or little nodes along the pedestrian circulation to provide places for people if they wanted to go outside to sit or something. So we determined, I believe, 7 spaces were beyond the minimum necessary. So we reconfigured the parking. We took 7 spaces out and we put, in its place, we put some sitting areas and so forth. So if you look at the plan Eric has, or I'll take this one out so you can see it. Down at this end. So this, up in the upper corner, we tried to indicate where we thought the pedestrian circulation would be. The site's very insular, so we can't go beyond the site and connect to other spaces. It's not possible because obviously we have Route 1, we can't go that way. We have a massive wetland area between this project and the commons that's been built. So you really can't get that way. It's private in the other direction going down into the condominiums. So it's really a matter of connecting the uses that are interior to the site, the hotel, the future bank, the other building, whether it's an office building or whatever it should be. So we took some parking spaces out. We made little kind of shaded sitting areas. We put a bosque of trees over in this area that we kind of envisioned would just be a little almost park-like mowed grass with some shade trees. and outlined where we thought people could walk. It's either sidewalks, it's crosswalks, or it's just mowed grass that is safe and off the road so people could be able to walk on it. And we identified that with this dashed line on this plan. So we did look at that. We hopefully were able to address that to the satisfaction that we were asked to do. And then the other thing that we did, of course, was the town of South Kingstown special management district landscaping requirements. So I'm not going to go through all that. If you look on the landscape plans on sheet 2, we did outline all the requirements and the fact that they were all met and how they were met, and they were actually exceeded by two or three times in a lot of cases. Obviously, all the calculations that you have in your ordinance for interior landscaping, trees, shrubs, and all that stuff that we've done many times and are very familiar with. So we've outlined that, how it's all been met, so it meets or exceeds all the requirements of that ordinance. I guess the highlights, I mean, there's a lot of interior landscaping going on. Special attention paid over near the pool house at the direction of the owners, developers that wanted to make a kind of an active space outside here. So this is the freestanding pool house, and then outside of it, actually, I think we have a nicer rendering in this keep somewhere. Okay, here we go. So here's the pool house, and we anticipate building an outdoor patio space, fencing it, hedging it so it has some privacy from the road, putting sitting out there. We showed a fire pit over here, benches, tables, things like that, to just be kind of an auxiliary use to the pool house so people could sit outside and kind of interact with the inside, outside. And also it creates a little bit of an activity when you come into the site. We showed some images here that are sort of indicative of the thinking we're having. We haven't obviously really developed it at this point. But that, I think the scale and the size of that is close to what it'll be. That's kind of beginning to get firmed up in the design. And then, as Eric mentioned, the screening. So, you know, as always, there's a conflict between screening and financial success. So nobody wants to build a hotel in the woods and nobody knows it's there. On the other hand, we have to be respectful of the Route 1 Special Management District. And in particular, as you know, Maria always reminds us of her future plans with Route 1, trying to get it as some designation of a historic or scenic highway. So we're sensitive to that. I think the renderings that Chris did, he and I went back and forth on the accuracy of them. Architects don't like doing drawings and putting trees in front of their buildings. They take all the trees out, show you their beautiful buildings. And we kept saying, no, you're not going to see it. If you look at the drawing that we prepared, the landscape drawing, and all the proposed, there's existing plants out there, these little clouded areas that are outside of our property. They're actually, I don't know if they're state property or who owns that out there, but they're there. We can't touch them. There's big spruce trees along here. There's quite a bit of planting over here. We've got a pretty significant mix of evergreens, deciduous, and shrubs along this sort of south border with an attempt to screen and buffer the view into the site as much as possible. I think it'll be fairly successful. The portion here that I'm pointing at that's got this kind of thumb or finger sticking out is actually freshwater wetland and a 50-foot perimeter. And that's very dense. That's what you see when you drive by there now. And that can't be altered. So that's kind of going to be there in perpetuity. I think the view heading south is probably going to be completely obscured. So the view really is heading north and looking into the site. I think we've done a good job of screening it. And Chris's rendering, I think, accurate, does a nice job of representing how it'll look when the plantings are starting to mature.
Yeah.
Maybe not the first year or two they're planted.
John, each of these trees is the actual location of the existing and proposed.
Yeah, Chris and I went back and forth sharing information, and I think he's done a good job of
It's dense, it is. And, of course, we've shifted the view to and from on that street to give a, I guess, a realistic view of what would be, but it's pretty dense. And again, I think, like as John is alluding to, when you're heading south on Route 1, you're not going to see a thing because that's not changing.
During the summer.
During the summer. Well, keep in mind, too, there's spruce trees and evergreens, so those will stay leafed throughout, you know, winter as well. So.
And again, we try to be very clear, I do, about the fact that we're not trying to hide this building, and I'm not going to stand here and tell you, you won't see this thing. You're going to see it. We want it to succeed. We want people to know it's there. But it could end up being like the Commons, which seems to have developed into a really nice balance of visibility and screening. It doesn't. There's a lot in there that you don't even know was in there when you drive by.
Yeah.
But we have on plant on page 2. We have a plant schedule. I'm not going to, unless you'd like, go through all that. But Josh's engineers might want to hear that.
You sure? Hydalodocus.
Chris, do you want to briefly speak about the building?
Sure. So just to be clear, right, the primary architect is the Renaissance Group out of Memphis, I believe. So I've been joined the team as a consultant, as a local architect. I actually live here in South Kingstown to interject some contextuality to the building and bring about, you know, some aesthetic that may make the building more contextually appropriate to the area. And I think we're getting there. I think it's still a work in progress, and we're certainly open to additional commentary. The last time we met, we had taken the prototype and essentially added some clapboard material, the great clapboard, so stone base. We had kept the original flat roof or parapet, and some of Maria's comments and some of the other folks at the last review meeting was to make the building more holistic and more appear to be a building of a singular use. It was kind of disparate and with the flat roofs and these other elements tagged onto it. So I think we're getting there. We've added we'll call it a false mansard roof, if you will, that wraps the entire building to give that shed roof or pitched roof aesthetic. These elements have stayed the same. We've actually come back and we've added some bracketing, some board and batten and panelized to make it give it that more of a traditional New England aesthetic. The great clapboards throughout. This is, I believe this is to their stair and elevator. This is the porte cochere. We did also, there was some concern that the porte cochere was too large, so we scaled it back some. We've added some lattice, and there's this notion or idea that potentially there could be some planting or vegetation that could grow around that or make that more inviting, that drop-off or porte cochere area. This view, again, is pretty much, you're seeing the pool house, which is separate here. Entry into the pool, or there's side access to that and egress for the building itself. It's 4 stories, again, 100 rooms. This is roughly 39 feet to the top of the roof deck. Again, we're I don't know what the construction will be. I'm assuming it'll be a CMU-type building with a plank construction, which is pretty common for these types of structures. I don't know what the Hampton was, but that will be determined. But again, I think we're getting there. Signage at the corner, it's minimal. They initially had it here. This was blue with their big, gigantic logo, but that has been reduced and a little more subdued to make it, again, more contextual to the area. And again, that is pretty accurate. I think when you start to turn the different views, again, you will be able to, especially from the south, see a little more of the signage when you drive into the site. These are existing, the Wakefield Meadows sign and this sign as well. So when you come off that what were you calling that, Eric? The jug head?
Yep,
or the jug
hand?
The jug handle. I like that. When you come off there, you'll be able to, I guess, directionally get to the building. But And that's roughly it. We've added, you know, the windows were pretty simplistic and aesthetic. We've added some muttons and scale and made them to appear more like a double hung type unit. So again, those elements that are more consistent and with the context and with our area. That's that.
Any other presentation we want to do? Questions or comments from the PRC?
Should we start closer? As a parent, I've sent a couple of examples. I thought about how we
did. Yeah. So I have not seen any of this before. Mm-hmm. So I will preface this by saying, yes, I'm not one of the members who was on the TRC. Probably should have, and maybe it would be useful to have known or to have thought ahead that maybe I should have looked at the TRC comments from the last time. So that I did not do. So I'm coming at this fresh, mm-hmm. Although I've been on the board for a while. So some of the newer drawings that you're showing here make it look a little less, to me it looked very much like the Hampton Inn. And there's very good aspects to that, and then there's also like, well, wait a second, do I want something a little different? But more than anything, I was curious as to the siting. I would like to look at the hand drawing here. I'm curious as to how this played out, because if you have, again, I'm not an architect, but coming from here, the front of the hotel is going towards a parking lot and a bank. And so it's just curious to me that when you enter, and again, this is just totally my first observation, why you wouldn't have, that presence here of here's this beautiful hotel, here's a statement of a place that you might be staying at for a night or a week or whatever. So I'm just curious as to the placement of this. Why it wasn't, here, and then, obviously they have their architects, as you point out, Chris.
Yeah.
I liked one of them that kind of had, just a little bit of more, it kind of takes the shape of the place as opposed to it just being one mass. So again, this is coming after you guys have already done this, but I'm mm-hmm. just curious to get a little background on that, because basically, this looks like a hotel surrounded by lots of parking. And in the other, so that's just curious to me. That doesn't.
I think that's a good point. If you're not really going to see it from the north, and it's when the trees are at full maturity, you're not going to see it necessarily from the south. Should the vista be when you enter the site to make that statement on entry?
Yeah.
Because you're not maybe a building is good for. Don't know, but it seems to me that when you enter the site, you want to see, oh, this is a beautiful building.
Or you see, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, the architect can show us what that actually looks like coming in here. You're seeing that. So, maybe your statement really is that beautiful, porch, the patio that you're showing and the pool house. But, so it's just curious to me how that played out. So.
Some of this predated you. Dennis DePrito was the original civil engineer before Eric came in to help. Mark Landry, who isn't here, he's the hotel operator. He felt strong that he wanted the pool building and the patio on the south side mm-hmm. of the building to get the sun. And he did something similar he also manages and runs the Hampton Inn. And he wanted a bigger, livelier area that people would really use. At the Hampton Inn, a lot of people tend to congregate at the entrance because it's a more lively spot and there's more people there. He wanted to see if he could move that mm-hmm. down to this area. So this is much, there is actually a patio behind the Hampton Inn. It's actually very nice, but it's not used that much.
Yeah,
right.
And so he wanted this area to be visible. When people drive in, they'd see it. At nighttime, you'd see a fire pit here. You'd probably see visions of it from Route 1. And as John said, the building's not invisible. As you're going to be moving down the street, there's going to be a tree in front of you. There's going to be a view corridor. There's going to be a tree in front of you. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a view corridor. Mm-hmm. So it's more buffered. Mm-hmm. So this isn't going to be invisible. people will see this, but it's not going to be right on the highway with a lawn going down to a highway. Right. At some point, they won't see it. And depending where they stop at the traffic signal, they may see it, they may not see it. But he felt it's very important also to have the front door facing this area. And he wanted to make it like a grand hotel at the entrance that people would absolutely know it's there. And the other issue, some of its logistics, the grading of the site and the length of the building, it kind of had to go in this area.
Yeah, keep in mind, you know, a lot of the Fairfield or these hotels, the prototype is based on an efficient layout for them in terms of corridor length and the or the way that building is composed. So it's a double-loaded corridor, typical hotel-type construction. So if you twist it, but I don't know if that played too much to the orientation of the siting, but I would think it would have some impact.
And this whole impact here, if this was somewhere else besides South Kingstown, the pool would be integral to the building. The building would be larger.
Yeah.
The way the special management district zoning is set up, it's to encourage multiple buildings or even a larger building feeling like multiple buildings. So the movie theater is technically two buildings at South County Commons. It's the area in the back and the lobby buildings, different material. It's turned on a little bit of an angle, and it reads like two buildings when you're driving around. So this is set up to be a very visible area, but it's lower. You can kind of see it, and it doesn't show up in all of these views, but it'll read much lower. It'll read like it belongs here. It fits,
yeah,
but it's actually a separate.
See this.
It's a separate building. But so people will see this. This is our real first impression when someone comes in. So to have this really wow people is what we're after. And then to have the parking lot spread out so it's not one big parking lot all in front. We toyed with the designs that had the hotel back like this and double rows of parking in the front. To have the parking spread out around seemed like it fit the site better too.
Also from an efficiency, I mean, if somebody's in one of the, if you're in the rear corridor over here and you're coming from, at least, and people tend to park as close to their room as they want to, and they don't want to walk from here around to their room.
We didn't bring all the earlier designs, but there's actually a design where this road today comes through this area, and where we put some of the, this is the road stayed, some of the parking fit over in here, and this, we've been working on this design conceptually probably 4 years, maybe 5 years. It's been for the Economic Development Committee in the town, and it's floated around for a while. So it's gradually progressed. Every time we put it down, new people got involved, and John got involved, and Chris got involved. It tweaked, and at the last meeting we had with the town, there was actually a lot of good ideas came out of it. So by the way, we're open to constructive criticism on it, because every time someone looks at it and gives us ideas, it feels like it's a little bit better. And they both said that we're still open to ideas. This is going to be a real important area.
So then that's the balance, because as Chris was saying, oh, and you'll have to have that screened so that people can have privacy. So it's that balance between you want it screened, but you also want it to be a visual statement.
Yeah. So we see a wrought iron type fence with heavier plantings in some areas, but open views. A fire pit that, especially at night, really looks nice, and then some type of lighting in the ground. And John said it's still a work in progress. He's still working on it. But this is going to be really important. And then some of the stuff around here. This changes the pavers underneath this drops, and there's lighting around here. This is real nice landscaping. This is an important spot.
I think, you know, alluding to what you're saying, it could be developed in a manner that is consistent or taking your remarks, because keep in mind you have the pool house, so there's this perspective of scale. You'll arrive at this maybe this lower house. Maybe that end is, you know, something I don't want to say dramatic, but it's we pay attention to that end.
This facade here.
Yeah. Well, this facade, and then perspective-wise, so you'll see the pool house, and then it staggers up to steps up to this larger mass, and maybe that's addressed.
And the signs of the building are important. That's one sign here, one sign here. So this sign is set.
But it could capture that aesthetic of, I don't know, the adjective for it, niceness or something, that when you arrive that you see.
You're welcoming. It's welcoming.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And maybe we could focus or show that view and really get down to what it will be.
Yeah, so probably that's a good point. So maybe you could show this view.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe there's more windows on this side.
Right, rather, exactly. Or there's a special dormer or something. One element that perspective-wise enhances this as you step up to it.
Correct.
And you see a nice, you know, it's, I don't want to say false, but an inviting perspective, if you will, when you arrive to that hotel.
Yeah.
Which could be a good thing, because this site, there's almost this progression of circulation, which is kind of nice. You come in, like South Kingston, you're wooded off Route 1, but you get into the site and slowly arrive, and there's kind of this promenade of,
right,
of views and perspective, and then you'll be focused to the Port Cochere. So could be a...
You know, and I did like your point very well. You know, in reading the SMD, you know, talking about the different kinds of building, you know, that look like you have, you know, different kinds of buildings. So, and I see that you've come here and, you know, kind of pulled it out a little.
Yeah.
Because of the coloring, it almost looks, you know, some of them look better than others. But, you know, when you look at it on one side, it's like, wow, it looks like one full facade. So that would be interesting to, you know, so here you can hardly even tell that you do have these pullouts. So you might
yeah.
somehow
shadow,
make them a little
yeah.
more
jump up
a
yeah.
pronounced. So that it does look, you know, I did take a drive through South County Commons and looked at the, you know, some of the highlights.
The, yeah, the articulation, and I think, yeah. right. of the, and you're seeing it more here, and that's why I think why I
that
brought this view.
You can see it better, yeah.
You start to see, the again, the expression of the elements. So those were starting elevation studies,
yeah.
you know, with, because again, if you go back to the first, it was essentially this Italianesque elevation,
right.
which was, but we're starting to take that and modify the elements to give it some expression, if you will,
yeah.
and variation in the mass.
So I would encourage you to keep on working with it. The articulation, you know, of what you've done at the roof line, I think starts to work
yeah.
towards that as well.
Okay.
Like talking to Pam's point, I wasn't part of any of these discussions of how the project evolved, but one thing I liked about the initial one is it really had different left to right, different elements,
mm-hmm.
and it gave it more of like a Main Street feel.
Right.
You know, like as if they're row houses or something of that nature, connected but
yeah.
different. And as it evolved, it seemed to become more institutional.
Well, that's interesting, because Maria and the other comments were essentially the opposite of that, that mm-hmm. that was too thematic and make it more holistic as
okay.
a building. So it appeared to be one singular use and one singular
All right.
building type.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a comment. I think
No, I think it was the comment for the roof line. I think that was something needs to pull it together. That was the.
But I thought the use of the different stones you did here.
Yeah. Well, we still have that, so you can see.
Oh yeah,
right.
but not as dramatic.
Right.
It looks, like I said, it's more of a row
okay.
house, something you'd see on Main Street, than monolithic, you know, institutional.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just.
But it was mainly. But that's the same point, Chelsea. It was mainly the roofs that changed that, because this had a different roof
mm-hmm,
than this.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and
yeah.
the comment was
bring them together.
To bring it all together.
Yeah.
And that's so that's how it evolved.
Right.
Like these are always the same different materials and different colors, but when you change the roof line to be all the same, that's what made it kind of evolve more into this. By the way, I feel that feels like it belongs down here. It does feel more like a beach hotel. A lodging brand.
It does,
hotel.
Yeah. That, more of a
I like that a lot too.
To me, it makes it feel more coastal. There are something so this here.
Is it the windows coming out with the, you know, like some of them are almost in dormers and some of them are not? So it gives you that more depth.
That we did look at that, and it's interesting because this here, because of the way this hotel's constructed, so if you think about this and we'll call it a building section, this is more residential in nature. You'll actually have pitched roof, which we can't do in this because you're kind of, you're governed by really the envelope of the building. And we, you know, if I start to, we start to cut this back, it's something to look at, and if it could be, I guess, explored with the architect who's actually going to detail and, you know, make it happen, maybe there's some gymnastics or things you'd have to do to achieve this, because look, see the dormers, they start down here, so you're cutting into those rooms, if you will. So it's more of a, if you think about a home with its kind of standard dormer, and you know the roof comes, it's coming over you, so.
Could you give that illusion by having more overhang?
You won't in the sense because that overhang will still start above the window, so it's going to be just more massive in structure, right? So you'll see, it won't, this is nice because it looks like a dormer. It's as intended. It starts low and kicks up. See, we would have to start that. Where we are, that's why we've added this false roof. That would actually have to happen here. So it wouldn't appear like that.
But this dropped down since we had the meeting.
It did, tremendous. Yeah.
So this, we brought this down, and then there were some brackets before, but it was exactly for that look that this happened, that this roof line was back up in here, and it came down, and you added more of the bracketing.
Yeah.
And that was discussed by Maria and Chris at the last meeting.
Yeah.
They'd almost have to be fake dormers up on the
It would. I mean, building. We could, you know, it might be worth, what we could show, I think, what that would look like.
It's a cement building? It's not a wood frame building?
I'm just saying, there was some criticism on South County Commons for the fake third floor, right?
Those are compliments.
Oh, so. They look nice, but in terms of use.
Right.
But as we know, architecture is subjective. You know, all seven board members might have a different view on what architecture is appropriate or not.
Well said.
The more you can show that the architectural progression happened for a reason that is compatible with other things that are in South Kingstown, maybe some exhibits that you can show how it looks or feels like other things that exist in the life.
Yeah. Some precedent, right.
Maybe some options where you might be flexible. You know, so
yeah, absolutely.
If you bring the board a couple of different, I know we talked about Maria, but if you bring the whole board a couple of different,
Yeah.
So most of the focus seems to be moving towards the roof lines. And
roof line, and I think the variation in the building to make it look a little smaller, section as opposed to one larger building. But I think I'd appreciate if you bring them some options and say, tell us which of these you but that to me is going to be, if not the only one of the major.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Just in terms of building, just a clarification. I thought I saw in the SMD it said 100 feet long are the buildings. So what?
Not for a hotel.
Okay. I couldn't find that out. Okay, thank you.
Okay, should we talk about phasing plan? Josh, did you have
comments? I thought we had comments. Yeah, there's just a couple small things. I'll start on the west end, I guess. So the area that's hatched in green is an area of grading, ties into a retaining wall, is just some confirmation on the intent of that northwest corner of the parking lot, the future. How is that going to be constructed in the first phase?
Just tying the existing grade. There'll be no point in building the wall at this time. They can build it once this area is decided. So it would just daylight basically back into the
grade. So that red line technically should come out. Could be bumped out and include that grading.
Yep, I got you. Yep, so in order to get one back to one. Yeah, where does it go to? It looks like it would be like probably right here.
Okay.
In order to get up to these grades. So, yep.
Should we retune the red line?
Yep, that makes sense.
The retaining wall, that's obviously got to be built to establish the elevations for the drainage basin.
Yes.
And how about the inlet from the future parking lot, is that going to be
right here?
Is that going to be set up with
it would make sense to probably do that
there
in advance rather
okay.
than having to deal with the wall in the future.
Okay. East side of the site where the future bank is. So I think you explained it pretty well, and it's actually detailed in the legend here about the condition of that surface area being loomed and seed, rough graded up to the elevation that's shown on this plan as finished grade.
Mm-hmm.
The retaining wall that's also shown there, including the drainage pipe, I assume that all has to be built.
Correct.
The drainage wall along the eastern
yes.
Buffer there.
Because that's associated with this 4 bay sand
okay.
filter? Correct,
okay.
yes. Yeah,
yeah, that, those are the only clarifications, I think, on the phasing plan. If there's a way to add that and maybe somehow
yep.
darken that up,
makes
sense. So know that that's going in, and then perhaps just to reinforce in the legend under the blue hatched area, you can just include the fact that the retaining wall would be constructed as well.
Oh, for a phase.
Yeah,
yeah,
right,
yep.
right
yep.
in here
yep.
it says
yep.
rough grade and also put yep. the retaining wall. And then.
Retaining wall and
okay.
I have a question about given the phasing. Is there some, you know, so again, SMB, we talk about kind of multiple uses to try to make it more village like and traditional and utilitarian. Is there a reason why we wouldn't propose a restaurant here? I mean, you think that, is there a restaurant in the hotel? That's, I didn't think so. And, you know, is there breakfast in the hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
So free breakfast.
Okay.
So it's proposed to be a Fairfield Inn.
Okay.
So they have
one of
it's a Marriott. Yeah. It's a Marriott select service brand.
It's so similar to the breakfast. Hampton, I think.
And
you make your own waffles
and
you go downstairs.
At this point, it's not certain what the other two pieces will be.
So we would have to come back.
Right.
Right.
So it could be a restaurant. Right?
Well, the reason I say that is because you don't have parking. You know, so you might look at it very differently,
mm-hmm.
But you know, I would think that you would want to start to think about this as more of a campus area where you might have other associated uses, and to that point, and I know that
Johnson's retail, right? So we would have to modify the master plan to do that.
It was approved as light industry or commercial or office.
I think you
could. Use services. Use code services.
What's your question?
What's a restaurant? Is it considered retail or is there a subsection services?
A restaurant's a restaurant.
Yeah, it's separate.
It's not a grocery store. I mean,
right. So now,
and it's considered as an assembly.
Retail.
So egress and all that fun stuff.
So we would never up against the limit, but the board. Yeah, so it's the master plan approved it.
Okay.
So we could do it because there's still room in the zoning. It would have to come back for a new master plan.
So I don't know that you have to amend the master plan. You could, because the preliminary plan approval always amends the master plan. Right? It's just the next meeting. So whatever you approve as preliminary takes the place of what was approved at conceptual master plan. So I think you could request, if you wanted to, the ability to put a restaurant there and have that as part of your preliminary plan approval, which you're going through now. I don't know that you have to go back and change the conceptual master plan. You see what I mean? Because they build on each other. That's why I see it.
This would probably fit better there.
Yeah, I'm just even, you know, I'm just thinking about, and again, this is one lot, this is another. So we have proposed office buildings, four office buildings, or banks in this area. So, you know, thinking of the whole, you know, as you said, we can't connect to South County Common, so, you know, people aren't going to be walking or riding their bikes or, you know, going to the restaurant there. But
That would have added a lot to this, and we spent time looking at it even for a pedestrian
yeah.
connection. It wouldn't be the kind of thing that
guest, overnight guest, coming to a town. It's almost from here to the front door of the Hampton is almost a quarter of a mile. Right. And most of that would be through wetlands, and it's wet out there. I mean, it'd be the kind of thing you'd put planks maybe on the ground.
Right, so I'm saying that, so that's not possible. So I'm just wondering if there's, so
it'd be great if it could happen.
I would love to kind of think of this, you know, because you have the ability right now with these three lots, to really think about that as what might be useful there. And I guess that goes back to another thought. I work at URI, and we bring in people for a week to a month. Has there been any consideration for the hotel to be more than, you know, and this is a tourist area, for people to stay for a week, and that there might be an efficiency on some of these? You know, that is really, really needed. You know, we have professors coming in for anything, you know, extended stay. You know, so it's just that's desperately needed. So I would really encourage you to think of, you know, extended stay type things. Of, you know, it might be a family coming to a week for the summer, and they want to cook, as opposed to going out to the restaurant that's not here. So I didn't mean that, but but you know, I think that would be.
We will take an extended stay.
Yeah. So just kind of some alternative things. But, yeah, I would really think of this as a different kind of a. An option, and you know, is the pool then available? That's the other question in terms of use. Is the pool available to South Kingstown residents? You know, for a few years, is there a gym inside? You know, I think it would be useful for us at the planning board to know kind of the bigger picture here, because we are trying to incorporate it as a component to our community. So when you come to the planning board, that would be useful information to know as well.
I can tell you at the Hampton, there's a lot of people have birthday parties there.
Yeah.
So people from the neighborhood, most of them are in charge, as long as they hire someone to sit and watch them.
Super.
So quite a few people have birthday parties there.
Yeah.
Without even staying over.
So
and that's
so
just one of the things
so that
people
would,
do.
That would be useful to know, and then that also helps to define the space. But again, thinking of the three spaces together, to really start to think about how that plays out, and with consideration to what's here and what's on the other side, obviously, your neighborhood.
So I think if you wanted to propose a restaurant, you could change your plans to say something like future office/restaurant building, and then if that plan gets approved as it is, you would include that as the conditions modifying it.
I don't think it's too late to change it.
No. The plan hasn't gone to the planning board yet. We just need a modified, well, we're going to need reduced copies of the plan for the plan board anyway.
Okay.
I have a thought on the pedestrian circulation.
Good.
Are the proposed what?
Okay.
Oh.
So people are likely going to go to the ATM at the bank and cut through your beautiful landscape median to get there, no crosswalk, and back to traffic. So just to think about that.
So
we're here. You put a connection in to the rear of the bank, people aren't going to use that to actually functionally use the bank.
What's the grade like? Is that a sidewalk right there? What's the grade like here?
No, that's just a little grass area, but we can look at it.
So just,
it's possible.
I mean, the bank might not have the entrance where it is, but it likely will because it's on
the
physical corner.
Is that sidewalk? It already looks like there's path.
It looks like there's a path there, but I think it's just the space.
Nah, it's just
space. Oh, okay.
So just think about that.
Grades look conducive to it.
Yeah, it was going, there's a shaded seating spot in here, and that's what that was going.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
So but I wouldn't get rid of that, but just the...
Yeah.
Jessica, can I ask you too about the waivers?
Yeah.
So, since we met before, we added another waiver because we eliminated parking.
Yeah.
And so, there's plenty of parking for the hotel. Most communities look one space per room. In South Kingstown, there's one space per room plus a higher number, and I think it might be for, it's changed since we did the Hampton, but I think it's probably for employees and other things. So it's still within the number that Mark is very comfortable with operating. Mm-hmm. And so that was, we eliminated it, and as John explained, we added the landscape areas. The other waivers for the height of the building, for the architectural element, to hide mm-hmm. the mechanical stuff on the roof rather than on the ground, and to hide it with the pitch roofs. Do we see any issues with, and I know those are waivers that the planning board can grant with extra open space. That's why Eric went through the trouble to demonstrate that there mm-hmm. is extra open space.
Yeah, I think the waivers that you've requested are not unreasonable, and I think the board would appreciate, right, less parking, higher building heights, so you can incorporate some architectural features. I don't see any problem with that. But when you, at the public hearing, obviously, go through, it'd be nice to have John go through what the planning board can grant and why they can grant it and what they've done to say, we've given this open space, and these are the ways that we want to.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. Actually, going down to the Hampton, you're in the middle of August right now, and the entire back parking lot is empty.
It's always empty.
I know.
Always.
So I would ask that question about. I was actually going to ask the question about parking again. And again, I know that we've talked a lot about that in the planning board about. Are our estimates realistic? Either do we need more parking for certain instances or less?
Or less, yeah.
And I was going to ask the question about more of the infiltration areas. So I didn't look as much at the drainage, but I know that's Josh's expertise. But just even thinking, would you ever put in some tree islands here so that drainage, you have more infiltration in the, to pull off the, to make the parking lots look less massive. You're building the parking lot on each side. Mm-hmm. So things like that, and that very well might reduce some of the parking as well, but I'm more sensitive to the fact that parking is important, and you're saying so.
You right think now, we're probably down to rather, it's probably a comfortable right mix with the waiver. If it was off another space or two to go down, I probably no one would ever feel it.
Yeah.
The other thing to keep in mind in South County Commons where the hotel is, there's another building to be built in that corner, another office building to be built.
Oh,
and so the hotel people tend to park where it was envisioned that the office people would park. But even with that other office building, most people believe there's too much parking down. And that was a big discussion point at the planning board at the time. We're trying to do less parking for the Hampton.
Yeah.
But it was better safe than sorry kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think this looks like it might be a lot of pavement.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's really only one, two drive aisles with one space on either side. It's not,
It's not like,
It's not a massive.
And so this is isolated. This is
right.
Isolated.
Usually it's broken apart by building corners by the front facade. The fact that there's four different areas on site. It's not one massive area.
Yeah.
And this, the biggest parking lot back here mm-hmm. is broken up with landscaping.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't know about the parking as well, but I think that the planning board would typically welcome reduced parking.
Right, so the submitted plan met the zoning, and we just threw these kinds of reviews mm-hmm. that the discussion was, can you get rid of some of the parking?
Mm-hmm. What does concern me, though, is, so are you locking yourself really into a bank here because of because of limited parking. So that's a question. And
could be a small office building, though. I mean, but it can't be anything much bigger than this.
If you didn't have the drive-through, you could have more parking. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't a bank with drive-throughs, you could accommodate more parking.
Right.
But it's not inconceivable it could be a small office medical building or something like that for somebody.
Well, and then, that would be interesting to ever think, would there be some shared parking opportunities there? People aren't there as much in the daytime.
Office is great shared parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put the word bank there from.
Seems to be the thing that people want to build these days.
As you know, the market dictates.
Right. And I think,
you know, if we did get a nice restaurant and it was a high end restaurant and we had the right kind of pocket, we could always go back to the town and talk to them about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a bank, it might be a restaurant, it might be an office building. It's really hard. You know, we don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
I mean, this site right here, I've always said up here, my partners talk about an office building. I've always said, you know, one of these days, one of these big restaurants are going to come and want a nice big site like that. And that could be an issue.
Once the hotel gets built, the dynamic of the space
is
different. I mean,
yeah.
You'll attract, you know, probably people that you won't
think of
right now once that gets built. You never know.
Bradley might want a bigger, you know, they might want to be
So I think if that's what you want to do, revise the plan to give yourself more flexibility to include maybe not retail. You could try retail, unless you're going to have a restaurant something like that.
And we appreciate what you've done for the timing. I know there's been a lot of focus on the schedule. Just kind of the backstory there is this hotel's been in the mix with the town, I think, is it 4 years, John?
It's going to be
4 years. It never made any sense without any subsidies. And it was the town has a tax treaty ordinance where Alex and John spent a lot of time with Mark Landry and Steve Alfred trying to work out a tax treaty that would make the hotel feasible. And it was never able to get there.
Mm.
And then the state started with these subsidy programs for hotels. And it's not really a subsidy per se, but they defer some of the future tax revenue from the rooms back into helping get the hotel going for a period of time. They call it a TIF. So because hotel rooms pay a lot of tax, and they let for a certain amount of years a certain percentage of it flow back in to help make the dynamics spread so that it works. That program's alive right now. They've done a few of them in Providence. They're doing one over by the airport. There's a Hyatt going in by the airport. And, it's not going to be there much longer is the belief of it.
Right.
And so Alex has been talking to them since pretty much from the spring, and it seems to have come together pretty good. And they want to be the last to commit. They won't commit until they really is ready to go. They're not supporting projects that are just ideas. They got to really believe it's going to happen. So in addition to the regulatory approvals, there's letters from banks that he's getting and prices from contractors and all that to make it go. But it seems like there's a good opportunity that if it could start construction this year, that it can happen.
Mm.
And starting construction, he needs to get the foundation in the ground probably starting in October. Because they're talking about building a block and plank construction, like the Hampton. And so the foundation would have to start late fall. The site work and the foundation late fall. And it's a lot of work to do because even after you folks are all set with it, the architects and mechanical engineers, the structural engineers, and electrical engineers, and the geotechs, they have a couple thousand hours of work to do on it.
I mean,
contract for engineering and architects is like about a $350,000 contract. And they can't begin their work till they know we get the building nailed down. And there's certain things they can take out of sequence, like get the foundation design ready first while they're working on the bank design.
You've got a long row to hoe.
Long row.
I feel like I'm going to start this in October.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't open in March of 2019, the lenders want to wait a year because they don't want the hotel to miss the summer months because they make all the money in the summer. So the bank is saying, if you can't open by the spring, and by the way, since it's a Marriott reservation system, they won't even let you take a reservation until there's a CO on the building. So you talk about a long road to hold. There's a lot of things that have to fall in place, but it pretty much starts right here. And so 6 months ago, we didn't know that it was going to come down to be a rush, but that's why we've been trying to do as much as we can and try to find the path of least resistance and make all the demands, because if it can happen, now's probably the time for it.
So we, as of yesterday,
great first step.
After after that, I can't promise you anything. September 12th public hearing, and then what happens after that is the board's discretion. But that's what we'll do. So,
Kayla, it would be really good if, you know, because this is a big, this is a big packet.
Yes.
So it would be really useful, I know the staff notes would be really useful to the planning board members, mm-hmm. and to make sure that we get them on time. So I'll just say, if you guys have to give us anything else in terms of small drawings, I would really encourage it to be as soon as possible, because as a planning
right.
board member, there's nothing more that we need than getting something on the staff.
I'm looking at those. Those are pretty hard to read. I mean, we can print all that stuff out, at least 11 by 17 or something like that, so people can read it better.
I'm out tomorrow and Friday. He lives up Friday, so early next week we'll get together and make a full list of everything we need from you.
Great.
And all the sizes and numbers. And
awesome.
Perfect. And the date. Yeah.
Now we're meeting Maria Monday.
Is it Monday? I talked to her yesterday about two options.
Yeah, I'm gonna reword.
It's gonna work out.
Okay. Before we get too far off, other things on the plan. Wait, were there wastewater?
Yeah, just to back up one second,
sure.
I have two other questions on the stormwater, I guess. So during the first phase, proposed hotel only, obviously your O&M falls on the operator of the hotel. Now, with the shared use of the drainage areas, where would that end up when you have future uses? What's the commitment there? Or do you not have one as far as still the maintenance and the operation of the systems, which a lot of the future areas are essentially tying into ones that are going to be built
right.
up front.
When we have those, we'll have to include those. They are not standalone, as you mentioned, Josh. So, like, for instance, this site would be coming into this that is also used by the hotel, so there would need to be agreements between the for the maintenance of each of these elements, because they're not standalone, even though there are, you know, shown lot lines. This is half on a lot, so yeah, no, there would have to be the agreements.
And he owns all three, but you said so, if he sold one, then that raises the issue.
We'd have to make sure that the O&M had
okay.
had the language.
And as far as DEM goes, with the permit, it looks like the permit was given for all three, or for the full development, the way it's shown.
It was.
Combination of all the uses. When the first phase is complete, is your intent that there would be some sort of certification on when the hotel's done and the infrastructure that's sent to DEM to say that
it depends
the
on
stormwater is built at that point?
It depends on the timing of these. So if the timing was that something was in play before all of this was done,
you'd wait.
We would do a permit modification and do it that way. So it really depends on the timing.
Okay. Okay, so right now the intent is to keep the window open, one permit, one
correct.
Development plan, unless there's a delay in the other uses. Is
exactly.
that fair to say?
Exactly.
Okay.
So in that respect, the calculations for stormwater are based on these proposed
yes.
correct.
I was more asking with the logistics of the construction and closing out the permit or certifying the drainage. Okay.
Is there a scenario where you would have to modify your right of permit?
Absolutely, there's a possibility. Yeah, by the time
we do that as a practical matter all the time now, even if there's a little bit of change, because the lenders want to see the exact permit and match it up to the plan. So the DM usually makes it very easy if you don't change your limits of work.
Do you want the wastewater comments?
Sure.
I'm just going to read them as they came from John Schock.
Is this from what we submitted yesterday?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
So first thing is, I think it sounds like he's satisfied with the flow analysis.
Okay.
The question came up. I didn't read through it in detail myself because he was handling it. I guess the comparison of flows, not the actual flows, but a comparison of theoretical flows was done using a Hampton Inn?
Correct.
I don't know. The question
oh, you're
was,
talking about for the, yeah, probably related to, yeah, there's three different Hampton Inns.
The question was, was there a confirmation that the Hampton Inn is similar to this type of
yeah.
hotel chain, so to speak. Yeah. Okay. Operation and maintenance provider, looked like there's some drawings from Boyko. The question was, is Boyko or what's the other entity responsible now for the current pump stations? And he was looking for maybe a schedule, or what the schedule is now, maybe a copy of a recent O&M report. And then I think on each pump station, the Bradley School and then the one at the Commons, he's wondering if the next O&M visit or even a separate visit could be made to do a more of a comprehensive analysis of the condition of the pumps and the equipment, et cetera, just to understand that since they were private, there's, you know, I'm sure the maintenance has been performed, but to sort of substantiate the fact that the pumps are in good working order, alarms, standby power, yeah, whatever.
That makes sense.
Okay. Second item, or third item, I guess, hydrogen sulfide analysis. Our wastewater department reviewed the package as well, and John put that in front of them to determine if there had been any issues while these areas have been up and running. And something came up regarding odor at the downstream manhole, which is the connection point at St. Dominic Way, adjacent to Broad Rock Road. That's where transitions from gravity to pressure to gravity. And so because of that, the wastewater department came back and suggested that there'd be a hydrogen sulfide analysis on the strength of the wastewater at that point.
Is that recent? Was that someone was just walking by and smelled?
It's been something they've had to address fairly consistently over the course of the last couple of years. I don't know if it's necessarily complaint driven or if it's there based on their O&M of that, you know, responsibility of the manhole downgrading and gravity. They've come across it. I don't have
to grab a sample at the gravity manhole.
And probably just upstream if you can, maybe leaving the pump station too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at some point if it is an issue, you know, you've got that line that goes down through the easement. It might be a benefit if there is an issue because your pipeline might be, you know, might end up suffering long term because of it if there's that high level. But the last piece of his comments tied into the same issue I just brought up in the sense that I guess the manhole connection configuration, St. Dominic, going from force main to gravity has a shelf. It's almost like a waterfall effect at that manhole where it transitions. And they're curious if that has anything to do with the odor problem or could the configuration be revisited at this point to eliminate that effect at that manhole.
I don't remember that, so there must be some turbulence where it comes out into that manhole.
Yeah,
it
looks like there's no physical drop or anything. The force main just comes in high and waterfalls into the gravity trough that sends it downstream to Broad Rock Road. I wasn't here for the original, you know, obviously the original review design. I'm not sure if that came up at that point, if that was an over, I don't know. But
you know, we get all the old drawings. We'll pull them out, look at it, and try to get a heads around it.
Right. And see if it can be adjusted at this point. I don't know if it's too far along. But that's what I
Is this someone we should talk to about the hydrogen sulfide? Maybe get more knowledge of it? Or just
Yeah, that would be, I mean, before you do anything, sure, I think you'd want maybe a little more info. So you could go to John Schock. Our wastewater superintendent is Kathy Perez. You're also welcome to call.
Okay.
Called directly down to her, because again, they were.
So she was the wastewater was the one that had that Glenn John consulted.
Okay. Yes, Kathy's
number.
Yes,
it is.
Okay. You can have the email. Okay. Yep. Sure. Her contact info is right on there, and you can see her response.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So that was wastewater. Yep, everything was, that latest package was received, reviewed, and those were the comments that came from it.
Okay.
Just wanted to mention that we're now asking that landscape plans use South Kingstown's tree planting specs. We're just trying to get everybody on the same page. It makes it easier for the planning board to review for planning and later for performance bond review. And they're in the subdivision regs.
I don't know if we have talked previously about review by the Conservation Commission.
Okay.
We have a request to review by the
Doug was talking about possibly scheduling a special meeting because otherwise, due to his schedule, we're not.
Due to the earlier public hearing.
Great. So we'd be glad to go. There's a special meeting.
Yeah, we could do the regularly scheduled first Wednesday in September, even.
The first Wednesday of September would not give us enough time to put your comments into our staff
rooms. Okay.
For the board. So
okay.
I'd like to move it 1 week in advance of that. So
sure.
The last week in August.
What's the date? Do you know?
August 30th.
Yeah, good.
We'll work on that. We'll reduce copy. We can put that in our list of things.
Mm-hmm. What meeting is that, David?
Conservation.
And the focus on that would be mainly trees,
landscaping, and
stormwater.
Runoff is going to come up.
Stormwater. It's probably not something you have to go to.
And if optional, you don't have to go to the EDC, but you're welcome to
I think we would have. In fact, we started with them a long time ago, so we would have some of them going back to them. I don't think they're even aware that we're progressing.
They might, I don't know when they're
meeting. My understanding is that they don't have a meeting scheduled until
after
the first public hearing.
So we couldn't even talk to the chair about doing a special one.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Two other things to just consider when you're when David said about stormwater. If any, like the patio, if those could be permeable pavers, you know, we would love to see more infiltration. I know that you mentioned bricks over here. That might be a little bit more difficult in the middle of the road, but think about how you might be able to look at the stormwater a little bit. You mentioned LID, so really try to see some of that. And then over later times we've been thinking a lot more about solar. If there's any precedence for this hotel chain to think about some solar components, you know, you have a pool that's going to be heated. Are there, you know, and you might have some roofs that you can put it on the, as you said, the south side. Just as a, you know, we're seeing more and more of it, and that's always a something for us to be considering in terms of some of our options and our energy use.
Tens, you were talking about possibly, I don't know if you numerically can lose any parking places, but what about in this northern part here, if you could eliminate those four parking places and have more plantings to absorb runoff?
Which four are you looking at, David?
Four in this little piece in the
yeah,
middle.
Yeah.
If you look at that, I mean, three or four spaces is... It's a judgment call. Mark thought the seven spaces were okay. By the way, we do have a lot of infiltration. This is all capturing the roof runoff and infiltrating it back into the ground.
Super. Yeah, you're talking about this island right here.
Yeah, in between. Cutting them in those four.
Just look at that.
I don't know how it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah, calculations.
Thank you for all the time.
Thank you.
Come a long way. Yeah, I know you guys put a lot of time into it. Really appreciate it.
That's yours. I have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
On Monday.
Monday.
Thank you.
1 o'clock. That's air. You don't want it, John? It's beautiful.
I'll take it. I don't know. I don't usually use my wood stove for another few months.
Can't have enough paper.
It's only really for management purposes. There's so much data. We broke it down. It's
not required. I was looking at this, and I was like, well, wait a second.
These two parcels right here, so they're...
Yeah, foot, but it still doesn't look the same shape.
Right, it got reconfigured as it was.
Because they're all
different.
Yeah, sure. They complicated it further. This is the North District. This is the South District.
Whole thing.
Motion to approve.
Approve, everyone?
Yes.
I don't even know. I don't know why we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a utility. It's on the utility pole.
So on the credit union site.
What is this?
What's the credit union? When? When do we need those retaining wall designs?
Done.
I haven't